Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Riles, your host to the new Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure and program for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell. Our guest today on Voices is Slidell resident Michael Piazza. Michael is a businessman. He's a leadership trainer, a coach, a facilitator with 30-plus years of experience. Mike works for an American Fortune 200 company. He spends much of his time in leadership and life coaching development, both corporately and on a personal basis, an individual, professional basis. So, Mike, we're glad to have you with us today, and thank you for making time for us.
Bob, super excited to be here and sharing this dialogue about leadership.
You know, I was looking at the news this morning, and I saw that there are those who are saying that our country has never been more divided than it is now. Divided politically, divided economically, socially, that people are just dividing up into little groups. There doesn't seem to be any spirit of unity or togetherness. And I would like to ask, what are your views on this division in the country today? And I know you came to talk about leadership. I'm just wondering if maybe lack of leadership or maybe too much leadership. I don't know. What might your thoughts be about this division in our country today?
Hey, Bob, that's a perfect question to lead into what we're going to talk about today. I strongly feel that part of the division that we're feeling is a lack of leadership. It's a lack of integrity. It's a lack of compassion as a leader. And some of the traits that are key elements to be a great leader is just missing from our society. It's missing from our businesses, our churches, our organizations. And that's why we see so many problems in today's society.
You say that there's some key elements missing. What might some of those be that we should be looking for in a leader?
Well, there's common traits that we see in leaders, and there's common skills that we see in leaders. And just a few of those common traits would be honesty, integrity, compassion. Those are just a few of the many traits that we need today in our leaders more than ever.
Who would be an example of somebody who personified this integrity and honesty and concern for the common good?
Well, I'm going to go ahead back to Jesus and talk about Jesus being our ultimate leader.
Okay.
And when you look at Jesus and you look at his leadership style and what he did, he was a humble and he led with humility. And there's a perfect example of that in John 13, where Jesus picked up a towel and he didn't pick up a title. And he decided to wash the disciples' feet and said, now do this to each other. And we have that missing, that humbleness that we need in society today. We're power hungry too much. And because of that, we're stumbling. That's part of the problem.
So it's all about the me, and not at all focusing on some of the needs and concerns of other people.
That's exactly right. We have a very competitive world today, and leaders are more competitive than ever. And really, we need to be focused on completing each other and not being so competitive. What competitive natures do is they drive leaders to not share great ideas because they're so interested in winning and being first. They put aside the interests of their fellow leaders. They don't mentor and lead and coach as they should because they're selfish in their own way. And that's some of the reasons why being so competitive in business today, we struggle with that.
How is it in a capitalist society that we're supposed to get ahead? If I don't, say, toot my own horn, if I don't tell you why I'm the one that you should be talking to and doing business with, how is our society gonna move forward? I guess maybe I know the answer, but maybe I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on that.
So society today is all about getting ahead. And realistically, the Bible talks about the last will be first. And we have to humble ourselves in a way that we're willing to coach up, help, and train others around us and help them achieve their goals. And the sooner we do that, the sooner we're going to achieve our goals. We're putting it backwards, really, Bob.
Interesting. Well, if I hear you right, what you're saying, instead of pushing other people down, we can lift ourselves up by lifting other people up, and the tide rises all around instead of trying to push somebody else down so I can stay where I am. Really, we need to all be lifted up and encouraged.
I can't agree more to that statement. We've missed this part of what we should be doing as leaders. We've totally forsaken this in an effort to basically self-please ourselves and self-promote ourselves. And that's a poor sign of a leader, when you're constantly promoting yourself, putting yourself first, putting yourself before the team, putting yourself before the church, whatever it may be. We miss the whole target by doing that. It's exact opposite of what Jesus would teach us to do.
Well, it sounds like you're talking about building something.
Yes.
About putting something together that's maybe taking us to a new place, as opposed to just excelling on a flat plane.
Exactly. What you really want to do is understand and learn that you have to have both leadership traits and characteristics that I mentioned earlier, and you also have to have leadership skills, which sometimes we just don't have. We haven't been trained properly. Our business or wherever our training came from maybe have been inaccurate, but just an example of some of the skills we should have is organizational skills, action planning skills, decision-making skills, time management skills. All these things come into our world as a leader, and if we don't have this training and understanding of how they work when we get into the actual leadership roles, we tend to struggle. I've seen it, Bob, where we have a great person that's excelling in a role, and we promote them into a leadership role, and they fail. And they fail because of lack of some of these skills that they was missing. They can't translate the skills they had into the leadership skills, and they don't understand how to do it. We have poor training and coaching. Unfortunately, we spend so much time evaluating people that we don't spend enough time coaching and developing them, and it causes them to fail. We actually put them in a position to fail.
You know, the word that came to mind when you were describing this was the word judgment. If we spend all of our time judging other people rather than looking for the best that's in them so that they may blossom, then we really end up in an adversarial position with the people we're trying to lead. Adversarial positions lead to division.
Exactly.
And perhaps that's one of the places that this whole thing's broken down today, to where our country, our society, our economy is in such a diverse situation.
Bob, again, accurate in your statements. When we put people in that position where we spend the whole year and it's evaluating, I'll use your word, judging them, and we spend very little time coaching and developing, and we end up turning over people and then we have to go right back and hire new staff and start from the beginning. But it's a poor hierarchy decision as a business, as a leader, to do that, because you're perpetually promoting yourself, judging and evaluating others to a level where you dismiss them and say, hey, let's go out and hire a whole bunch more people. Well, you had probably good quality people. You never spent the time or understood what leadership looks like. So, of course, you may not have had it as a leader, and you need these qualities if you're going to be effective going forward.
Well, you know, in my years of business experience, I've always thought that one of the greatest assets any business has is not the building of the cars or the technology or any of that, but it's the people. That if you take care of the people who are put in your care, if you build them up, if you encourage them, then your business is going to be better. You're going to be better. And I would dare say you're going to be much more profitable if you use what's in front of you, use the gifts that God gave people, instead of trying to shape them in your own image. Do it my way. I'm the only one who knows what's right, without encouraging people to express their creativity and how they can better do their job.
Again, Bob, perfectly said. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 2, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, be humble, thinking of others better than yourself.
Oh, yeah.
As a leader, awesome. We have to walk that out every single day. It's not something you do on Monday and then take off the rest of the week. You have to walk that out in front of your family, in front of your church, in front of your friends, and of course in front of the people that you steward every day.
You know, we're talking about leadership, and I guess listening to ourselves talk, we're probably talking about it pretty much in a business context, but leadership goes way beyond just what we do for a living. I mean, there's leadership in the family, leadership in the community, as you just said, leadership in churches and other places. Talk to us a little bit about living leadership.
Absolutely, Bob. One of the things I notice is if people have children or teenagers at home and they struggle to manage and lead them, I notice that translates over to every other part of their life. As I'm working with leaders, if you can't get Johnny to pick up his room and do his homework and things of that nature, the little things that we should be leading and stewarding every day, you're going to struggle with the team at work. Those skills are not far off. So it does translate across each area of our life. And we have to see that and understand it. But again, I go back to the lack of training that we're missing in leadership, because we are just looking at what Manager Tom taught me. And Manager Tom was a direct leader, and he was very abrasive. And that's what I learned how to do. So we can't just have that type of leadership.
And our families really need to be engaged with our children. I mean, you just can't tell children this is how you need to live your life. We need to be engaged with them. We need to be an example. We need to build on their gifts. And their giftings may be different than yours.
I can't speak highly enough about that. Bob, one of the things our family does in the evening is we sit around and we do a short just scripture reading. And then we each write down at least three things that we're grateful for that day. Awesome. And we talk about those things as how important they are to us. But most definitely, it makes a difference. It makes your children, your wife, and you see things differently. So being a leader and being grateful for the things we have is so important today.
So being a leader, family, business, society, church, is not shaping people in your image, but it's really causing them to be all that they can be and having them look to you as the leader to facilitate who God created them to be so that they can be His best, not mama or daddy's best.
Again, perfectly said. We don't want to have cookie cutter images of everyone. We want to help you understand, or you should be able to understand, what leadership looks like and what you need to do to be a more effective leader in whatever environment we're talking about, whether it's family, church, or what have you. One of the workshops we do is training on leadership styles. Everybody leads a little bit different, and there's been basically four identified styles. For example, okay. If you're a direct leader, you're a person that basically is a get-it-done type person, no nonsense, forge ahead. The problem with somebody that just uses one leadership style is they may not be as effective as they could be if they didn't understand all the styles, how and when to use them, and when are they going to be the most effective. For example, if you are just a direct leader, I'll just use the analogy of a hammer. You become that hammer, and you start to see every problem as a nail. No matter what the problem is, you just know how to bang that nail down. And until you understand that leadership style and how they work, and that's part of the skill training, will you ever change or understand, hey, that style is not going to be effective talking to this person today because they just had a death in a family.
Hmm.
You may not have the best style in the world to be a direct. You may say something like, look, I'm sorry for the death. You need to get back to work. That's not an effective style.
I don't think so.
That's part of understanding, and that's the skill part that I was talking about earlier.
Listening to that, though, if you and I were in the military, and I was the sergeant, I was the lieutenant, and we're getting ready to fight a battle, I've got a weapon in my hand, and there's people shooting at me, and I'm shooting at them, what type of leadership would you see as appropriate in that circumstance?
If you're defending, as far as you're in a...
I'm a soldier.
You're a soldier.
I'm a soldier in the trench. I've got a gun in my hand, and I'm waiting for leadership. What should I expect?
Well, most generals, sergeants, captains are going to have probably a direct or spirited style. They're either going to be motivating the team to charge to their victory, or they're going to be directing the team in a harsh way. Another example is, if the building's on fire, I don't need a considerate leader. I need somebody that's going to get me out the building
exactly.
That's burning. But at the same token, if someone's gravely injured, we might not need the direct leadership style. We might need a considerate style that's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, so we need to be what the situation calls for.
Exactly. And if we don't understand that or can't translate from our leadership styles due to the circumstance, we become less effective as a leader.
If everybody was a hammer all the time, we'd be in trouble. But if everybody was a marshmallow all the time, we'd be in trouble. It really is a balance between the times that we need direct leadership and the times that we need to be understanding. And I can even see that sergeant I was just talking about in the military. On the front line, he may have to be direct. But then when he gets back to the barracks, he may sit down and work through some of the issues that maybe he discovered during the direct time.
But if you was never trained or don't understand it, you just use the hammer style or whatever style you was trained up in. And that style can be partially effective, but there's what I call caution zones, where we become overly direct or overly systematic. And when we do that, we can tend to create problems, we can tend to be abrasive, or we can tend to bog down projects. So we have to know how those things blend together and what makes the most sense for the person you're dealing with, because you're not only doing it for yourself, but you're paying attention to their style.
Okay.
Once I understand their style, I know how to approach them to get them to be the most effective they can possibly be.
Wow, this is awesome. This is really motivating me to want to be a better leader. In terms of self-examination, where do I go? What's next? I can see the need to be a hammer sometime. I can see a need to be a marshmallow sometime. And where do I go in my terms of self-examination or gaining these skills or the things that you talk about? I mean, there's got to be a source that is readily available to all of us.
Yeah, there's plenty of sources. There's plenty of books on leadership styles and characteristics. What we do is a workshop. It's a two-hour workshop of basically breaking down the styles, helping you identify your style through self-evaluation, peer evaluation, and also activities. So in the workshop, you're going to do a live hands-on activity to help understand what does this really look like in the real world. What does a systematic leader look like hanging wallpaper? And what does a considerate leader look like hanging wallpaper? And understand, what does it look like in the real world? So we help them understand what these styles look like. And you're going to quickly say, that's me. I'm that guy that carries the calculator to the grocery store and checks my bill three times.
Oh, you followed me around.
So once you go through that training, basically we help certify you. But I use several courses. That's one of the main starting courses, because once we identify the leadership style, then we want to take you through the other parts of it, of understand how to use sound judgment, how to coach and develop people, and how to lead courageously. A lot of people don't understand how important it is that we will sink back because we don't understand how to identify with this problem. So we sink back from it and we say, oh, I'm not going to deal with that problem. It's too big of a frog to swallow, as Zig Ziglar would say. I'm not fooling with that.
Right.
So there's several courses that can be tailored to your special need. But at the end of the day, we want to help you be the best leader you can and lead with the characteristics that Jesus would have, but also the skills you need to be effective today as a leader.
Well, you know, as I try to synthesize what you're saying, is that I don't think that a leadership course is going to tell us something we've never heard before. It's not going to be some great formula that's unknown to man. But more than anything else, it's going to help to bring out within us and help to give us a definition of who Christ asked us to be. Because he told us to be witnesses. He told us to be to go out and to make disciples of all nations. It takes leaders to do this. And it seems to me that what you're talking about in terms of workshops, times together to learn about these things is more than anything else, or as much as anything else, just bringing out what Christ has already put inside each one of us.
Again, Bob, great reply and great comment. Proverbs 11 says, where there's no guidance, people fail, but an abundance of counsel, there is victory.
Amen.
So, what am I saying about the abundance of counsel? We can't just go to a leadership class, a workshop, or seminar and think we've arrived. We have to understand how to practically put those things into play.
Exactly.
And if we if we don't understand how to practically put them into play and completely understand what that looks like, we're going to struggle with our leadership style and leadership characteristics.
Awesome. Mike, this has been awesome today. If people want to know more about how to acquire these skills, how to develop these skills, what would be the next step?
So they can email me at frm@mail.com. frm@mail.com.
Okay.
That's focus, refresh, motivate.
Okay, I like it.
@mail.com.
Okay.
And they can just email me, and I would be happy to meet with them, meet with their business, meet with their church organization. We can talk about what that would look like. If they feel like they're a good fit, and if they feel like they want to put some of their team and key leaders through these processes, and I would be more than happy to answer any questions they may have.
Well, as we get ready to wind this up today, is there anything else that you'd like to say to our listening audience?
Oh yeah, it goes back to basically, we understand and we have knowledge of what things look like. For example, if I wanted to go play golf, and I just spent my time watching YouTube videos and reading golf magazines, I'm probably not going to be the best golf player in the world.
Okay.
What do I need to
that
do, Bob? I need to get out there. I need to learn how to practically do things. And I need a coach or a trainer, somebody that's going to show me the practical steps, the motions I should be taking, my blind spots. We're full of blind spots as leaders. And without that training and without that understanding of what that looks like, we miss or we'll never actually be our full potential as a golf player or a leader or whatever that may be. So that's why I'm passionate about leadership training and what we're trying to do, but understanding that it's all from the preface of what would Jesus look like as a leader and trying to follow that biblical principles of a leader.
Well, you know, I hear you saying that there's a leader inside each one of us, that you don't have a group who are leaders and another group sitting somewhere else who are followers. To some extent and to some great extent as Christians, we're all leaders. We should be leaders in our community and all the places that we go. And this is not just for the select few who want to be CEOs of a Fortune 200 company, but it's really for everybody who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Bob, again, if you've got out of bed this morning, you're a leader in my eyes. What are you going to do with that leadership?
Amen.
How are you going to treat it? How are you going to put people in a position from going from a passenger seat to a driver's seat in their life? Well, it's going to take, again, leading like Jesus, but also understanding the skills and characteristics that we should have as a leader. So I agree.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Mike, thank you so much for being with us today. This has been a fun time talking with you and really an enlightening time. And thank you for your preparation for 30 years so that we could sit here today and have this wonderful conversation. Really appreciate you being with us.
Bob, it's been a delight, and thanks for having me.
Thank you. And thank you, Slidell, for tuning into Voices today here on Grace Radio. And we also want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037, where you can leave a comment, or you can just send us a text to that number. And we'd encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, and leave us a comment. You can also check in on our website, www.graceradioofslidell.net, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to help support the needs of the station. And again, call us. We'd love to hear from you, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again on Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.